All right. Our next presenter is not new to the area, but new to his job. Some of you probably saw him highlighted on the front page of the Clarion the other day. Bart Garber, the new executive director of the Kenaitse Indian Tribe, was born in Alaska and is a member of the native village of Tyonek. His grandmother was born in Kenai, went to the Russian school in Old Town, and moved to the reservation in Tyonek with her family as a young girl. He grew up in Anchorage and Tyonek, commercial fishing at his family sites at Three Mile Beach near the Chewett River. He went on to graduate from the National Law Center at George Washington University and also from the University of Washington. He has a JD, he has an MBA, and he has a bachelor's degree from the University of Oregon. And I do a lot of flying and a lot of traveling. Every time I see this gentleman, it's in the airport. So give him a nice warm welcome. I'm glad he's here today. Come on up, Bart.
Yeah, I don't need a clicker. Next time. Must have been a slow news day yesterday. I do appreciate, though, the lady that did that. It was a good introduction to Kenai. I am from Anchorage, and most of my travel has been between Anchorage and Tyonek. Now, like the gentleman said, I'm quite familiar with the route between here and Anchorage. In the past, I was 20 years as chief executive officer of Tyonek Native Corporation, which in recent times has grown to a $200 million company, defense manufacturing, aviation services, and 1,000 employees, and we've almost got 1,000 shareholders now. I put in about 150,000 miles a year there. I actually got to know farmlands over in North Dakota from an airplane and could tell the difference with, you know, their crop cycles, depending when I was flying over it. I think I put almost 150,000 miles in, but it's between here and Anchorage, so I'm quite familiar with the route. I started up with Kenaitse about 4 months ago. I've been around this area for quite some time, obviously, but typically, just on my way to Homer to visit family who happened to move in there, or seeing friends in Kenai. So it's been quite the introduction for me to get to know the city of Kenai, Soldotna, the community in Nikiski, and everyone here on the peninsula. I did have a few people who've been here before, so I sat down and talked to them and drew the analogies between the Kenai Peninsula and Anchorage. And here more recently, I've been 4 years in Fairbanks, second trip there. I was head of Native programs at university for 4 years back in the 80s. But like I said, most recently, I've used the commercial and corporate experience I had as a lawyer to run companies for the last 20 years, and actually not unfamiliar with the oil field. Oil field services was one of our big businesses in Tyonek. So I'm quite familiar with the economic base here, and unfortunately my first degree is in economics, so I can't fool myself when I read the paper in the morning or see what's going on around us, which really is a segue to my new role as executive director of Kenaitse Indian Tribe. It is a significant economic participant and social participant in the Kenai Peninsula. They had annual revenues this last year of $32 million. About $28 million of those was direct program revenues. We have 300 employees, significant number of contractors, and they influence lots of things from medical care, dental care, behavioral health, significant number of elder and youth programs. So they are intertwined in the community, and not just with the Native community, but also with the non-Native community. We have a Head Start program where the majority of our clients are actually non-Native families, and we're looking at substantially expanding that program this year already with some in-home services that we've just started up here recently. Just a little bit of background. Most of you know about the Denaina Wellness Center. It's a beautiful 52,000 square foot facility, but we also have a number of other properties around, many of them centered in Old Town, but some spread out and around, from apartment buildings to office buildings and the like. We've put a lot of money into those in the last 5 to 6 years. And we're actually just now, the Tribal Council and my administration and me are going into a planning meeting over the next 3 days to look at where we go from here. Kenaitse has been around since the 70s, and they've been active in medical and healthcare services for at least the last 20 years. But the real growth and development obviously occurred in the last 5 to 6 years. The building was put together and started in operation 2014. We have a 20-year joint venture agreement with the Indian Health Service starting in 2014 that funds us on an annual basis. And now we also build other programs. We have almost 52 grants that are running the youth and elder services that we run out of the building that's between Denina Wellness Center and the Elders building. So it's not just BIA and IHS that funds our activities. We see in the near future the expansion of our healthcare business and services, and also on the good side and potentially, depending on your point of view, the bad side, some consolidation of various groups in the state. We are somewhat fortunate in that most of our funds come from outside the state and not impacted by the local economy. But there are many organizations similar to us that provide services that we've had relationships with a long period of time who are falling upon tough times. State budgets have decreased, as the tourism ladies have pointed out. Even those promotional budgets have decreased, and that's late in the game. The nonprofits have been cut for a significant number of years over a number of different cycles, and I've witnessed those as being on the boards of various ones. But they're getting kind of dramatic now, such that some of them don't have sufficient momentum or sufficient management or finances to keep moving, and yet they provide significant services for the community. We're in discussions with some of those and hope to carry on some that are really compatible with what we do and be able to manage those into the future. I think that's going to be one of the chief roles that Kenaitse has, as being a company and a tribe that provides services based on revenues that come from places other than here, although significant amount of our revenues also come from the payment for our services in-state, and that's where we get a lot of unrestricted money, so it's third-party billings and the like, and those have been increasing over time. But we depend upon the success of the Kenai Peninsula economy, and as I mentioned in that little article yesterday, we want to be a participant in that. We want to engage in that. I come from Tionic, which is famous for being on its own, and there's historical reasons for that. If you look at some of the records from what Kenai was like in the 10s and 20s, it was like Dodge City. It was a lot of shoot 'em ups, a lot of bars, a lot of wild and crazy times. No, not last summer. This was this one is in 1910, 1915. And sadly, at the time, there were large, you know, in the 1890s, large fisheries were brought in here. And there's lots of competition for fish. And some of the school teachers and some of the missionaries at the time said it would be better if the natives, you know, went somewhere else and into a peaceful place where they would be able to manage on their own. And that was exacerbated by the fact that local marshals weren't protecting natives in their fisheries. There were people jumping their sites and all of that kind of business. My family had a site at San Lamentoff Beach, I believe, and they chose at that time to move to Tionic. We're familiar with the economy here. We believe that we're in another time of stress, and Kenaitse is a strong participant in that. I've already had meetings with the city manager for Kenai. I'm going to be having similar meetings with Saldatna, with the Kenai Peninsula Borough. We hope to be able to contribute to that. We don't have another Dodge City that we can actually help with the tourism business. We see that there's future not just in what we do right now, and in healthcare-related fields, in youth and elder programs, also in education. I've talked to the city manager about the fact that I know lots of people. Like, yes, I come from Anchorage. I was born there, but I come from Tionic. I'm actually Nukshi, which means my family came from Kuskokwim, that really doesn't exist anymore. But I see that this is a very, very welcoming place. I've seen that for the 4 months that I've been here. But also people in Anchorage, those that have money, have the big places on the Kenai. Those that don't would love to. And so I see Kenai as a potential retirement location. I've just come from the interior. I was a CEO for the Tocatili, the village corporation in Nenana. Now, Nenana had brighter days also. They used to be the transportation hub for the interior, and then they invented aircraft and bypass mail. And so, you know, that place has seen a diminishment also. And yet, there are literally dozens of people that retire in Nenana. They don't even come from there. They go there for some odd reason. They like that place. This has got a lot more going for it, I can tell you that. And so I see a future potentially in the retirement business, in assisted living, and other programs like that that are consistent with some of the things that we do, providing a health base. You've got the Saldanha Hospital, you've got PHC, you've got others. You've got a real basket of services that you can provide people who are in that age bracket that are similar to me. This is not premature gray. We all are also going to be promoting tribal enterprises. We have Kenaitse Development Corporation that presently markets fish and smoking and services for sausage and fish and other types of value-added products. But one of the things I've noticed just in the area, I come from Anchorage, where you can make a mint on hoodies, t-shirts, and hats. And whenever I talk to any of these fancy places that have fancy jewelry and all that kind of stuff, I say, well, what do you make your money on? Hoodies, t-shirts, and hats. Hoodies, t-shirts, and hats. I don't see very much branding in Kenai for Native people or some of the things that are unique to this area. I really don't see that here. I mean, maybe it's somewhere where I don't see it, but I'm a city boy and I know how to shop and I haven't found much to buy like that. So I see a future in that with our store, with online sales, and that would help in the tourism business in getting the brand out there. And I think that that's something that's beneficial to all of us. I was told by a person early on, yeah, if you want to start a service station on one corner, that's great. But you know how you can make more money? By having somebody else start another service station at the other corner so that you get aggregate businesses. And we've been in that business. Tyonic Native Corporation went all the way to Huntsville, Alabama to form its biggest business, which is defense manufacturing. Why? Because there's basically a clutch of defense manufacturing businesses there, NASA and the military and other things. And when they get all together, they share people, they share markets, they grow markets. And I can see that here in the peninsula. You can't just be one little group. I mean, it has to be a collective of them. So I hope to be able to participate in that through our KDC, through our healthcare and the like, and see some compatible businesses that are coming in like that. I'm going to be looking for partnering with local governments, service organizations, and businesses to promote the Kenai Peninsula and Kenaitse, because I think that if you do have a couple of service stations on each corner, that you'll have a better business. So I'm going to get very close with the city of Kenai, with the city of Saldanha, and the Kenai Peninsula Borough to see what we can do, because there are also, besides, I would love to be able to, I've told my own people, you know, we do all these serious things. I told them that I already went to the medical facility, I'll see dental soon, I hope not to have to go to behavioral health anytime quickly, but I'm testing out our services. And so there's all that side of it, but I said one of the things that tribes and governments also do is they bring joy. They bring joy to people. So I was very happy to start to see the possibility of working with the city of Kenai to develop a little playground that's near us that apparently we've been talking about for a number of years. And there's two new guys in the office on his side, Paul Ostrander and me. So we're going to get a bit stuck with an old program that everybody's been talking about for a long time. And like, there's a list of a half a dozen of them in Kenaitse also that I've been told about. And I said, well, you know, I've been a CEO. One of the things we do is cross things off the list. If we don't, you lose the last three letters in your name real quick. So, you know, we're all about execution, and I hope to be able to see some of that. But so joy is a part of it. I see some gymnasiums and other things. There's a real vibrant Native basketball league. God knows why. I was a hockey player. But they like basketball from the north to the south, from this tall to this tall. And, you know, and Tyonek seems to be a big center for it. This might be a little bit of edgy joke, but they're called the Bumblebees, the Tyonek Bumblebees, and they have youth programs, but the biggest one are these 17 to 25, where they have serious Native basketball leagues. And I go in there and I watch teams, and I said, I didn't know we had a black tribal member who was 6'9". I said, yeah, he's Cherokee. We could see that little league coming through Kenai before long, if I have my way. So there's going to be everything from the serious, you saw in the article that I talked about homelessness. Just 10 days ago, before the holiday, I was driving and I was at the programs, and a younger, middle-aged woman needed a ride. And I said, sure, I'll give you a ride. She was one of our constituents and one of our service members. And I drove, and she says, right here. I said, okay, right here, okay. And I dropped her off at a Woodland area. She said her husband was there looking around for gas, and they were camping. And I talked to some of my other service people, and I said, you know, what's the homelessness question here in this town? He says, well, we have it. Nobody wants to talk about it. And I said, well, then this place is nothing different than anywhere else. I had to chase my own sister down once in the Woodlands across from my office, where I was a CEO with a six-figure income, and finally got her out of the woods and recovered. And 3 days ago, she went, after 4 years of walking the beach in Tyonek, to be a two-year participant in the American Indian Art Institute in Santa Fe. So, you know, good stories eventually come out of things if you apply some effort. I don't know what we're going to be able to do there, but I had just come down from Fairbanks, and Fairbanks has been through the same thing. The difference there is Tanana Chiefs has 47 villages to deal with. Here in our region, we only have 7 or 8. But if any of you are paying attention, up in Fairbanks, there's obviously a significant population of Athabascans. But the minority population there is Inupiaq, because they come down from the slope. There were a lot of flights in the past that came directly over from Kotzebue and the like. And here, to my surprise, the significant minority is Yupik. There's been significant numbers of people come from the Delta and from the lower areas. Anchorage, the big city. You know, Wasilla is different. Kenai kind of looks like home. It's a small place. There's rivers. There's a medical facility. When you go out to your house at night, you can actually see the stars instead of lights and light poles. And many of them bring significant resources. There's a lot of older Native people who've come here for various reasons. So I can see that is something that we're going to be looking at as a productive thing in assisted living, in providing additional services, maintaining our service population. Presently, we have 1,650 tribal members and a service population of about 4,000. But I don't see that changing, getting smaller. I see that only increasing. So we need a partner. We can't do everything by ourselves, as I said. No sovereign. You know, we can talk all about sovereignty and being governments and the like. But, you know, advocates who speak like that don't turn the page. The boring part of sovereignty is fixing roads, doing stuff, collecting bills, taxing people. You know, that's real sovereignty. That's getting something done. And if anything, that's what I'm about, is to execute. And I know that I need partners to do that. And that's why I'm very happy that you invited me here, so that we'll have the opportunity. After that article came out, I already had 3 or 4 phone calls. So that's good. I look forward to more. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any questions for Bart? Thank you so much. Okay, there's packets all the way in the back for anybody that wants one. And Bart, you know, one of the ideas that has come up over this last year, and I believe it was Summer who started it, was, you know, we have a great place for people to visit, and tourism is something that's so, so important to all of us. And the medical side, we're really developing in a variety of different areas. You know, medical tourism is something that we should put our heads together and see, because there's a market out there, and Kenai Peninsula, Alaska is on everybody's bucket list. So come get your hip replaced and visit the Kenai at the same time. So thank you.